All right. Good morning, everybody. Again, it's good to see everybody here this morning on Easter. Everybody looks. Hello, Gloria. Gloria, why don't you come on up here? You hardly get the opportunity. You're always in the back. Let's sit you up front today, if you don't mind. Would you pray for Ray? He's going to be speaking this morning. Thank you. I appreciate it.
Father God, we thank you for the opportunity to be here today.
Yes.
And Lord, we just pray for Ray that he move in the spirit, that our spirits will be open to hear what he has to say, that you open our ears and hearts, Lord God, and prepare us not only for his teaching, but for the preaching on Sunday, for the praise and worship, and for thank you, Lord, for this Easter Sunday. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you. Very good job. We'll get you up here more often. All right. It's all yours, Ray.
Well, this morning I have the honor, and I consider it an honor to be able to share God's word. So I can see a little bit better now. And we started off last week, actually two weeks ago, and the teachings we're working on is the full armor of God. And how important it is in our lives to have, and how each component of the armor is different. Okay? Yeah, just like I got that. My wife says the same thing. Why are you yelling? This morning I'm going to break it up into two parts. The part I'm going to be talking about this morning is the breastplate of righteousness. Okay? So I kind of broke it up in two parts so that we can focus on each part separately and see how it all is put together. Amen? All right, so I'm going to start off with one key element. Okay? And we'll see as I'm reading how important that part is. I got here. And this is, I'll start off with a little story on the Apostle Paul. And we all know that everything that he went through, and I'm going to get to the part where it says, living for 2 years with soldiers of the Roman army must have made an impression on Paul. He likely saw the soldiers' armor enough to become well acquainted with it, learn to understand the functions of each piece, what purpose it served, and why it was important. At some point, a God-inspired analogy became to form in Paul's mind. Just as the Roman soldiers required physical armor to fight their wars, we Christians require spiritual armor to successfully fight ours. As the pieces fell into place, Paul saw that each had a correlation with our own spiritual defense. It is the analogy that the church in Ephesus received and which God has preserved for 2,000 years for our benefit. Now, the Apostle Paul, spending so much time with the soldiers, he actually, every time they were going to go out to battle, he saw how they went ahead and put the armor on and how they took time to put each piece on. And he observed that, okay? And he noticed that, you know, each piece that they're putting on has to mean something, okay? They're just not putting it on just to put it on. So I got on here. When Roman soldiers went to battle, they always put on their armor, especially the breastplate, which protected their heart and other internal organs. And that's the part I want to get to. Key word there is they always put on their armor when going into battle. They didn't just say, well, you know what? I don't think today I'm going to put it on. It's a little warm out here. You know, where I'm really going, the battle isn't really going to be that big. I think I can take them. You know, so I'm really not going to put, you know, the breastplate on. Don't think I need it. Those guys, you know, their swords are not that big or not that strong. You know, they're not built right. Okay, so in their mind, they're already putting the assumption that they don't need that armor. Okay? So it says that they always put on their armor. All of it. Not just one piece and forget the other piece. Because they knew where they were going, they needed that for protection. Just like we do. Okay? When we're putting on our armor, okay, we need to make sure that we put every single piece on. But I'm sure there's people out there that have made the mistake in trying to go out there either to minister or to do something, all right, and was not fully prepared. And then when things didn't go right, and they were shocked. You know, well, I prayed. Well, that was good. That's the first step. And they think they did everything else, but they didn't pull the full armor of God and the breastplate of righteousness. Now, like I said, the key word there also is, and I noticed it was the first part, especially the breastplate which protects their heart. The same should be for Christians in the spiritual battle. The breastplate of righteousness is necessary for defense during spiritual warfare. But it is not a physical item. Instead, the breastplate is godliness, also known as the righteousness of God. Why guard the heart? And why is it so important?
Oh, yeah. Here you go. No.
There's a scripture in Proverbs. You'll probably use it, but it's a good one about guarding your heart. It says in Proverbs 4:23, guard your heart above all else, for it determines the course of your life. Stay away from cursive talk. Stay far away from corrupt speech. Look straight ahead and fix your eyes on before you. Make a straight path for your feet. Stay on a safe path. Don't get sidetracked. Keep your feet from following evil. That's a good scripture for guarding your heart.
Amen.
Amen. Yes, it is.
Amen. Yes.
Yeah, I was thinking about, you know, when you're talking about the heart and all that, and one of the most frustrating things when I used to coach football, every day you had all these high school kids coming out, and I guarantee you almost every one of them was missing a piece of equipment. One kid, you know, he'd be a little air pad, or he wouldn't have his thigh pads, or he wouldn't have his girdle pads. And you spent the first 45 minutes, you know, and you think to yourself, my God, kids, you're going into battle. You got some big dude knocking your rear end. You better have those girdle pads in, or you better have that mouth guard, or you'll be spitting out teeth. And, you know, I was just thinking about how the church and Paul, thinking about how many Christians, we're unprepared for the day. We come out, maybe we have the helmet on. We got the sword dragging from, you know, the side there and everything else. Oh, I forgot to put the rest of the stuff on. But when real life, you find out, you don't put that equipment on, you don't have it right, there are going to be issues. And so, you know, it's funny because in professional sports, they have certain rules as far as their equipment. Well, those rules are there to protect them, even though a lot of them seem as silly. Same when we come to the armor of God. You know, each one of them to protect us, but also to go into that battle. But the world, we think we can get by forgetting this or forgetting that. Amen. And it might just be something that we're playing yesterday, and one girl, Coach, I don't have a belt. Now, you know, who taught on the, Bob, I think you did the belt, or no, Fred did the belt of truth last week. Yeah. You know, and her pants are falling down, and you just go, you see just a simple thing. Yeah. But how it would hinder, you know, from playing or being involved in the contest.
And man, I watched this movie with the Dwayne Johnson, where he goes into, I believe it's a prison for teenagers, and he goes out there, and he's going to coach the football team. So they are, you know, they're going to practice, and they're going to practice hard. There's a bunch of big boys. So they forget, they think that they don't need the protective bottom piece, okay? And so they go out to practice. And after about 4 or 5 hits, you see them all running back into the locker room to go put that piece of equipment on. Because they found out that if you go out there without the right protection, it's going to hurt. There's a consequence to pay for that.
Hey, Rick.
Yes.
If you ever saw pictures of the old goalies in hockey, you ever see them? They don't wear a mask.
No.
And these guys got stitches all over their face, no teeth, ear half gone.
Yeah.
And then they got smart like in the early, and they used to laugh at those guys. Ah, they got to wear a mask, you know. But you wouldn't find a goalie nowadays without that mask on because it's so important. They like using those teeth for eating. But it's funny how things evolve, and out of necessity, these things develop to protect, you know, whether, like you said. But, yeah, you leave that certain piece of equipment off, and you're in a world of trouble.
Even some equipment we never thought about. Anybody that ever boxed, you know, one of the most important things is your socks. If you don't have a tight-fitting pair of socks that won't move, as you're moving, you might go four rounds, you start to get a blister. You've lost. So some things that we don't even think about are that important. Think that a pair of socks could win a boxing match, right?
Unless
same way with the armor.
Unless you're Mike Tyson.
If they saw your socks.
Well, I got to hear, why guard your heart? Why is it so important? Let's state the obvious. Because physically and spiritually, we can't live without it. Okay? I got a couple of scriptures here. Proverbs 4:23. Above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. Above all else, guard your heart. Remember, the breastplate of righteousness is the upper part. Okay, and like I said a few minutes ago in that statement, they protect your heart and your internal organs. Okay, because if they get cut in the foot, you can keep battle, you can keep fighting. Okay, you can get scratched up on your arm, you can keep fighting. You get one of those arrows in your heart, you're pretty much done. You're done. You're dead. Pastor Don, but you're dead. So obviously it's very important to wear that piece of equipment because that's the equipment that protects a key part, the most important part. It protects your heart. And in our spiritual walk, how important is that for us? To make sure that we protect our heart. 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 7. But the Lord said to Samuel, "Do not consider his appearance or his height, for I have rejected him. The Lord does not look at the things people look at. People look at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart." Proverbs chapter 3, verse 1 through 2. "My son, do not forget my teaching, but keep my commandments in your heart." So is heart important? Is it important to protect the heart? Yes, it is. It's very important. Because it says to follow the, I'll finish that, "For they will prolong your life many years and bring you peace and prosperity." So it's very important to protect our hearts. Psalms chapter 119, verse 2. "Blessed are those who keep his statutes and seek him with all their heart." Dwayne.
I had a quick question. You said God looks at the heart. So is the heart more important than the actions, or the actions are the same?
Well, it says everything you do comes from the heart.
So the heart's more important than your actions?
Yeah, because everything you do comes from the heart.
What he's saying is your heart dictates your actions, right?
Well, of course.
I actually didn't realize that I had to pray for God to protect my heart. Somebody had to remind me of that. And as I prayed for that, I felt and I seen a difference when things like would hurt, things that would hurt don't hurt like that, because I started praying, "God, protect my heart." And then, of course, I started praying that for my children, that God would protect their heart so that they can move beyond certain issues. So I was happy that he brought somebody across my path to tell me that. Esther, are you praying for that? So that is good.
Amen.
What you're saying.
Amen. Yes. Yes, that's something where we need to pray. I mean, like I mentioned earlier, we sometimes think that we can do things on our own, and not realizing that we have to have that full armor. And on that full armor, like the Apostle Paul said, that he noticed what every single piece did, how important every single piece is. So that's why it says, make sure you put on the full armor of God. Not just one piece and forget the other. Each piece has its own meaning, has its own purpose. Okay? So a lot of times, again, we want to go out there and try to minister to somebody. And if we're not well protected, when we go out to battle, spiritual battle, and not well protected, okay, you can get into a lot of trouble. A lot of trouble. Because there's a lot of Christians, so-called Christians, that went out there and did that, and it didn't work, and then they come back and try and blame who? God. He wasn't there. Yes, he was. He was there the whole time trying to tell you to put on the full armor of God. You just didn't want to listen. We didn't want to listen. We said, if I can just put on the sandals, and if I can just grab the sword, like Pastor Don said, then I will be okay, because as long as I have the sword, I'm good. He says, put on the full armor of God. And I'm talking about the breastplate of righteousness. Matthew chapter 5, verse 8. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. And that's awesome right there. That scripture right there. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. So again, is it important to make sure that our heart is right? Now again, it's not just being right. It's being right with who? God. Because we can think that we're okay ourselves. We can say, I'm good. But we never make sure that it lines up with God's word. That's what's the key part. It has to line up with God's word. Because as long as it lines up with God's word, then we're okay. Okay? Because then if it lines up with his word, and we put on that full armor of God, and we got on that chest plate, okay, we can go out there into battle. And if we got him in front of us cleaning out that path, there's nothing that can stop us. I can do all things in Christ who gives me strength. Nothing can stop us. As long as we make sure that our heart is where he wants it to be. And I'll go into the second part. It says here, Jeremiah 29:13, you will seek me and find me when you seek me with all of your heart. When you seek me with all of your heart. Not just seek me. Okay, because a lot of people out there say, why go to church? To them, that's seeking God. And they're content with that. They're fine with that. Okay? Because it's not just going to church. Okay? It says you seek me with all of your heart. That's what's important. He says he doesn't look at the outside appearance. He looks at your heart. So evidently, to make sure that the breastplate of righteousness is put on, is to protect our heart. Other than just all the other organs, the heart is where it starts. Because if he gets to your heart, if the enemy gets to your heart, if the sword gets to your heart, if that knife gets to your heart, you're down for the count.
Yep. Ray, you just said two words that should never be in a Christian's vocabulary: satisfied and content. We should never be satisfied and content with anything, because God always has more. Amen. You have never arrived, you never will arrive, right? Until you're standing in front of him. Amen?
Amen. Amen. All right, now we're going to get to the second part here. Again, the armor of God, full armor of God, breastplate of righteousness. We know that God is righteous, but what does that word mean? It certainly means that there is a rightness in God. All that he is and all that he does is right, and unlike humans, he is righteous. And all he says is that he is, and that's one of his greatest attributes. The Old Testament says that God is righteous. In Psalms chapter 7, verse 11, we read, God is a righteous judge. The word righteous, and Donovan isn't here, he'd be proud. The word righteous in the Hebrew is, and I had asked Pastor Donovan, maybe he can make sure that I was saying this word right. Sedai, I believe, is the word, which means just, lawful, and correct. The word righteous in the New Testament comes from the Greek word, so not only Hebrew, Greek, is dikaios, which means observing divine laws of spirit, upright, faultless, innocent, and guiltless. The Merriam-Webster Dictionary defines righteousness as a state of being and acting in accordance with divine and moral law, and be free from guilt or sin. If that's true, then the breastplate of righteousness from a Christian's perspective is being right with God, following his laws and his principles. Following his laws and his principles.
What's wrong with that definition he just read? Just
It says defines righteousness as the state of being and acting in accordance with divine or moral law. And
oh, right there. You should have caught that. That's two different things is what he's saying.
Right.
Is that true?
No.
Something that sounds good can go by you real fast. You need to stop and think. He separated. Why separate? What can you separate from your worldview, from divinity? Nothing.
Nothing.
That's where our moral views come from.
Amen.
Read that again, just that part.
It defines righteousness as the state of being and acting in accordance with divine or moral law.
Right, or moral laws. Or. So, exactly. If those moral laws aren't built upon the foundation of God's word, they're immoral. When my kids went to college, Adrian, I'll never forget this. Their head football coach, he had all the parents in the room, and he's giving them the sell. You know, oh, we're a great little school, and blah, 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 blah. And he goes, and we are going to uphold the morals that you taught your kids. And I'm looking around the room, and I'm seeing people, you know, from all different backgrounds. I'm going, you don't know what my morals are, and you don't know where they come from. But see, that sounds good.
Yeah.
Or we'll hear one of our politicians, these are the morals of this country. They'll never describe them because they don't want to get into that part. But that's exactly right. If our morals, if our ethics aren't founded upon God's word, they are wrong. I'd encourage you on YouTube, you can go on there and watch classes from major universities. I don't know why I do it, but I like to go on there. And you can get them from Harvard and Yale and Concord. I mean, U of M. I mean, they're from all over. So they had one on ethics from Harvard. And it was interesting because this professor would never come out and tell you what his ethical foundation was. And then everybody was almost contradicting one another or what their morals were. And so obviously it's a secular dictionary that you're quoting from there. But it, like Bob said, it can be very subtle. Something can go by and, you know, people think, well, I've got morals. And, you know, well, what are they? What are they founded upon? And if they're not founded upon God's word, they're immoral.
Amen.
Even though they might sound good.
Yep. Amen. It says that whoever pursues righteousness, this is in Proverbs 21:21, whoever pursues righteousness and love finds life, prosperity, and honor. And Esther kind of brought up a good point earlier. She said she prayed for her heart. And then here it says, whoever pursues righteousness and love finds life, prosperity, and honor. I hear to pursue, to follow, search for someone, go after someone or something. It is an action that we must take. It's not about the right things to do. It's who we're doing the right things for that matters. You know, to pursue. You know, it's something that we need to go after, okay? The word pursue is to go after. And I thought about that, and just like Esther mentioned earlier, says, you know, that's something that we should thrive to do. That's something that we look forward to do. We should try, and every single day make sure that we're doing the right things. Key point there. To make sure we're doing the right things according to God's word. Because is it just okay just to do the right things? No, it's not. People in the world do the right things a lot. A lot of people do the right things. But does it line up with God's word? That's the big difference. Because if we're doing the right things according to God's word, okay, then it says here that whoever pursues righteousness and love finds life, prosperity, and honor. If it's according to God's word. Proverbs 21:2. A person may think their own ways are right. And that's what I was saying. In their mind, they might think I'm doing the right thing. How many times have you spoken to somebody and you invite them out to church and says, you know what, God knows my heart. Yeah. A lot of people say that. Oh, I'm okay. I'm okay. Ray, I appreciate you inviting me and everything. But you know what? I'm okay. You know, I know what's right and wrong. They'll say that. I got a guy that tells me that every time I get my hair cut. Because every time I invite him out to the church. Okay, so again, so a person, you know, they might think they're doing the right thing. I go to church. I give my little offering. You know, I'm good. I am doing the right things. Is he really or is she really doing the right thing? To a degree. To a degree, because they are going to church. Okay? So something positive happening in church is greater, there's a greater chance of that than something happening if he's sitting at a bar. So I'd rather that person at least go to the church, because at least somebody in church can minister and he can at least get the word, than being at some bar. Okay? So.
Oh, Ray, sometimes it's harder to minister to a person that thinks they're doing right than it is to a good old sinner. You know, a good old sinner knows he's a sinner. You don't have to tell him. You're a sinner. I know that, and I'm doggone good at it. But you find somebody, like you said, that believes they're doing right, they are the hardest people to convince that they need yep. God. Because everything is great. I'm doing wonderful. I'm great. I'm.
Proverbs 21:3. To do what is right and just is more, to do what is right and just is more acceptable to the Lord than sacrifice. Proverbs 21:3. Matthew chapter 5, verse 6. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Again, hunger and thirst for righteousness. We should be wanting to make sure that we're doing the right things according to God's word. That's something that we should put in our heart. Again, we're talking about the breastplate of righteousness. Okay, we start out by saying that we make sure that we protect our heart. That's very important. Okay, because that's what God's looking at. He's looking at your heart. Okay, everything else that we do according to his word is what he's looking for. As long as it lines up with God's word and we're doing the right things according to God's word. Again, I love that part, hunger and thirst for righteousness. To seek for it. To pray for it. Lord, I want to make sure that I'm doing the right things for you. I want to make sure that I'm lining up with your word. That my life is lining up with your word. That I'm protecting my heart for you. That everything that I'm doing is for you. To honor you. To glorify you. Because it's all about Christ. It's all about him. We just finished watching The Passion of the Christ. It's been on for the last like day and a half, 2 days. Okay? And it just seems like every time I watched it, it seemed different, okay, to a degree. It seemed different. And every single time, it ministered because I'm thinking this is what he did for every single one of us. For every single one of us, this is what he did. God sent his son, his only son, for us, for our sins. Okay? So, yes, so it's very important that we protect our heart, and it's very important that we pursue that, that we run to make sure that we're doing the right things according to God's word, according to what he wants us to do. Not us. It's not us. Because I guarantee you, half the times when we think we're doing something right, it's only in our mind. Because sometimes you do something, look around the room sometimes when you're doing something. You'll start noticing whether or not you're actually doing it right by people's reactions, how they're looking at you. You think you're doing it right, though. I'm doing this right. How many guys here were trying to put something together and their wives look at you like you don't know what you're doing? Right? In your mind, I'm doing this right. Your wife is looking at you like you have no clue. Psalms 37, verses 16 and 17. Better the little that the righteous have than the wealth of many wicked. For the power of the wicked will be broken, but the Lord upholds the righteous. That's beautiful. The Lord upholds the righteous. If we're doing what God wants us to do, if we're lining up with his word, he is going to be there with us always. He's always there with us. Always there with us. And if we're protecting our heart according to his word, and we're doing the right things that he wants us to do, Dwayne, you're supposed to guard your heart every single day from the time you get up to the time you go to bed. You always protect your heart. I'm sorry? Around Christians. Because it's about your walk with Christ, and you got to make sure that your heart is right with Christ. So as soon as you get up in the morning, that's what it says, put on the full armor of God. That's an action. You have to do that. You have to want to do that. You have to want to make sure that your heart is right with Christ. Yes. How do you do that? Pray. I'm sorry, what? Am I talking about myself? Everybody. Everybody needs to protect their heart. We all do. Every single one of us wants to make sure that we protect our hearts. That we ensure that we're doing everything according to God's word. That's what's key. I'll finish up with this verse right here.
Wanted to know, what's that scripture that says to put on the helmet of salvation and all that? Where's Ephesians? Okay. That's all I need.
Yep. And like you said, it says to put on the armor. When does it say to take it off?
Never.
When you're in battle, you don't take off your armor. When are we in battle? Always. Anybody ever get attacked in their dreams at sleep at night? Oh, well, we don't have our armor on at night. We got to get up in the morning and put it on. No, you keep it on all the time.
Amen. Amen. That's very important. Bob's right. Every single day. That's what I said. From the time you get up to the time you go to bed, you put it on. Like I said, you don't take it off. Like when you're in battle, you don't tell the guy that's coming at you with a sword, give me a minute. Right? If he's coming at you with a sword, you don't tell him, hold on, give me a minute. I forgot to put on my breastplate of righteousness. I forgot to put the top part on that protects my heart. I forgot to put that part on. Give me a minute. I got to go back to the locker room, grab it, put it on, and I'll be right back. Just hold that sword. See, yeah, right? He's not going to do that. You're dead. He's going to grab his sword because guess what? He wore his. The enemy's always out there looking. He's got his on. He's got his, all the tools he needs. He doesn't leave any of them at home. He takes them every single day he goes out after every single one of us. He brings all his tools, all his toys, all his swords, all his knives, everything he's got to throw at you, he brings them every single day and night. So is it important that we put on that full armor of God and keep it on every single day? Yes. Is it important that we put on every single piece? Yes. Because every single piece is important. I'll finish up with this verse. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. And all things, all these things, will be given to you as well. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. So again, it's all about making sure that what we do, our righteousness, is according to God's word. If it lines up with God's word, then we're at least walking in the right path. Amen? Amen.
Thank Ray, you. Everybody give Ray a hand. Who would you like to close, Ray?
Brian, please.
Brian, good choice.
Brian. I got your back, Sammy.
Brian, come on. Make it good, Brian. Come on now. Let's see your heart.
Lord, we just thank you for Ray, Lord God. We thank you for his heart, Lord God, his heart for you, Father. And Father, I pray that we'd guard our heart, Lord, every single day, along with the rest of the armor of God, Father. And Lord God, we thank you for this Easter Sunday. We thank you what you've done for us. Father, help us to worship you in spirit and in truth as we go out there. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Thank you.